I'm still overwhelmed by the idea of trespass, of the, all of the things that God could have put in the scriptures that define the types of trespass, and he defined these weird things.
What scripture was that?
Leviticus 5:14. The lie, you know, the types of trespass. I mean, again, you've heard me say, let's lie unto the neighbor and that which was delivered unto him to keep, a trespass in fellowship or in a thing taken away by violence, or hath deceived his neighbor, or hath found that which was lost and lieth concerning it, or sweareth falsely. I mean, if I had to make a list of trespasses, none of those would be in there. It shows how little we know about trespass. At least how little I know.
Have we ever talked about each one of those as far as where it goes? Like the one of finding things lost, I can't really get a handle on what that's saying.
Well, practically speaking, I mean, if you realize that you were in error against your brother and didn't go tell him, you know, and let it somehow...
Finding within you something that's
right,
or something that I thought was, it's more like something he lost, right? Somebody else lost.
Jack, all the laws fall into those categories and all the Ten Commandments.
Yeah, all the 613 things will fall into the one of these six.
There's a sense in all of those of faithfulness. I mean, that's...
The commonality is this idea that in each and every case, a trespass is a break in faith. It's a place in which faith is literally broken, the broken arrow. Remember we studied that the word that it's this thing. It's the word ma'al, which is the break in faith. Now, and what it shows us is that the fulfillment of the law, the fulfillment of even the things that are the idea of restoring of the trespass, can happen only in our abandonment. Faith is always a movement away from self. Faith is never. I guess this is why I get so furious at religion, because when they begin to teach that faith is a commodity for self benefit, then It's exactly opposite. I mean, it's the opposite is true. Faith is always external to self. It's always an emptying of self. It's always a loss of carefulness about self. It's always... It never has self as the component. And so you trespass. Each one of these are always a break in that. They're a break in the idea that almost all of them will have the component that there's some self-protecting that would take place. You understand? And it's... But listen, I mean, hear what's being said in the world in the name of our God. Instead, they make faith a commodity to benefit flesh. And hear how many times you cry out for the benefit of flesh and think that because flesh isn't being benefited, something is wrong. It's, you know, when I was listening to those people on the radio today, I mean, it just made me sick. And I just felt that every one of them, it's just like they exhausted me just listening to them. The cross is nowhere. The cross is gone from the world. The cross is not seen In religion, the cross is not... And so there's never an emptying. So their idea of trespass is something that hurts them. And it's... I mean, it's like... It's not just a little bit wrong, it's exactly wrong. Am I communicating at all? Now, even for those, even that trespass is covered. Even the trespass of the trespass is covered, because by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. The trespass, let's look and see. And remember he said, in each case, in each case it cost a life. In each case you had to restore what was lost. And then in each case, it was restored what was lost, plus adding 20%. In the types of restoration, he shall restore that which he took away violently, or in the thing which he hath gotten deceitfully, or that which was delivered to him to keep, or restore the lost thing which he found, or all that about which he hath sworn falsely. Then he shall add the fifth part more thereto, and give it to whom it appertaineth. Always with the priest's estimation of the value. The priest's estimation of the value in the value of what? How can you define the value of a trespass? And what's the medium of exchange? How have you defined values of trespass in your life? What constitutes for you? You know, when somebody offends you, what constitutes a medium of exchange for a restoration with you? What does it take to cause, if there's a break in fellowship, to cause the fellowship to return? What is...
I like groveling.
The medium. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. When we say that Lord's Prayer, we are saying that we have some, there has been a total and a complete, the trespass, it's not just that the trespass has been forgiven, it's been forgiven because it's been restored, and there's been not, and you can afford to forgive those that have given you, because you have received a 20% bonus if anybody trespassed against you. Do you understand? So when you say the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, that's a big deal. That's a big deal. Let's look in here. Leviticus 5. Verse 16. And he shall make amends for the harm that he hath done in the holy thing, and shall add the fifth part thereto, and shall give it to the priest, and the priest shall make an atonement for him with the ram of the trespass offering, and it shall be forgiven him. Or in chapter 6, verse 5. Are all about that which he hath sworn falsely, he shall even restore it in the principle, and shall add the fifth part more thereto, and give it unto him to whom it appertaineth in the day of his trespass offering. And he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord, a ram without blemish out of the flock, with thy estimation for a trespass offering unto the priest. And the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord, and he shall be forgiven him for anything of all that he hath done in trespassing therein. And then go back up to 5:14 a minute, or 5:15. If a soul commit a trespass and sin through ignorance in the holy things of the Lord, then he shall bring for his trespass unto the Lord a ram without blemish out of the flocks, with thy estimation by shekels of silver, after the shekel of the sanctuary, for a trespass offering. The estimation of the priest. after the value of the sanctuary, after the shekels of the sanctuary. What is the only value? What is the only thing that can be considered a shekel, the value of the sanctuary? What is the medium of exchange? What is the only medium of exchange in the trespass? The blood of Christ. That's the only medium of exchange left. The shekel was a value of silver. You remember the silver? And the silver, what?
30 pieces.
The silver was, no, not necessarily. But the silver was
redemption
always. And so it was the shekel of the sanctuary. But we try to make a restoration, or we try to make forgiveness, forgive us our trespasses, that we forgive those who trespass against us. We try to forgive those who have trespassed against us based on some other commerce, based on some other value other than the value of the sanctuary. Do you understand? We try to make it on the basis, we try to make the value on the basis of our own experience, on the basis of our culture, on the basis of our high place, on the basis of some medium of exchange of psychology or psychiatry. We try to make it on any other basis except the value of the sanctuary. And we try to base the fact of whether or not, you know, we think of, you know, Larry says his is groveling. Well, that isn't the estimation of the priest. You know, a whole bunch of yours is sincerity. That isn't one of the things that is involved. I mean, that isn't after the value of the it isn't in the value of the shekels of the sanctuary. Do you understand? What's your valuation? What's your thing? 90% of the time, Harry claims ignorance. Well, ignorance isn't a basis for restoration. Ignorance is not a... I mean, I could go down the line and give you what each one of you have given over the years in different times and different places as a restoration commerce, a restoration medium, and they never work.
Given or demanded, either one.
Right. Oh, yeah, that's we want to demand it. That's the big one. But it shall only be after the valuation of the shekels of the sanctuary. Let's go down to, let's look at the chart. Who determines the evaluation? Who determines what the medium of the trespass is? Who determines the value of the trespass?
I gotta say something before we go. When you talk about what is your requirement for payment, and I realize that my on both ends of it, my own being is shallow, that I don't forgive easy, and I'm not forgiven. It's just kind of, without getting down into the depths of the blood, it's just kind of fooling around. There's nothing really going on, and I may forgive, and I may be forgiven that, but it never transcends down to the real core of life. And this conversation just kind of struck me. Well, this gets down to it.
Man.
Yeah. The rest of it's just game plan and nothing's really going on.
Yeah, when we say, you know, we throw around the word forgiveness or I forgive you
or
I'm sorry or but we don't understand the cost of it.
Right. It's been watered down in our society for so long that
right.
It's just...
And so we think that I can do something and then break the fellowship or break whatever and then come back and based on my offering, my evaluation, my shekel, my own determination,
yeah.
That the determination is my commerce that I decide.
Right.
And so therefore there is never any true forgiveness because it's all based on it's based on like there's never a medium of exchange because the offerer gives an offering in his own definition of value, the other guy accepts it in his definition of value, but it's like trying to have Turkish money and Kurdish money together. I mean, there's no there's no exchange.
Yeah.
And so by custom, because of cowardice, we have placed ourselves in the lukewarm waters with regard to the trespass. And it's never dealt with, and it just sits there and eats at us, because it always is based on the wrong evaluation.
Without this apprehension, there's no other thing that can happen.
Right. The only evaluation, what is the evaluation? And who determines the evaluation? It's only the priest. It's only the one that can stand as the intercessor between God and man. It's not your determination. And what is the determination? What is the value of the sanctuary? It is always the death of the Son of God. So that there is never a small trespass that's based on the medium of your own exchange. I had a meeting with Steve and Ed, and both of them had their own mediums of exchange versus the trespass, versus the break in fellowship. And both of them were bullshit.
But sincere.
Yeah, they were great sincerity. And you know, Ed's, well, I don't know about this, but I'm questioning it. And, you know, and his is, well, I'm doing it. And, you know, it's just horse hook. It's nothing. You got to get down to where that you have not yet resisted as to the shedding of blood. You've got to see the shedding of blood before there is any true forgiveness. And that's why forgiveness has to be, it's the rarest thing in the universe to be able to forgive a particular trespass. That's why I keep telling you over and over that you know, almost every one of the problems that you all have and we have as a body come from the lack of the understanding of forgiveness. You understand? I mean,
so like you as a priest in that situation, were just all you do is
I just
talk
say
until they see that.
I talk until there's
see the real evaluation.
Right. I talk until, I mean, it was a bad meeting from Steve's standpoint. Steve got wasted. But it was good at the end because Steve saw the blood of Christ.
Yeah.
But in the middle of it, my God, it seemed like for a small thing, he was late in his rent. He was, all of a sudden, he was, you know, he was dusted. Well, it's because he had to go through and sift through all the chaff and all the other stuff so that he could see the blood. That's the, whoever, if you're the Bible study teacher, that's what you're acting as the priest. That's what you have to do. And that's the most important thing that you can be, that we are about in terms of discipleship, is to teach you to see that you're not satisfied with anything less than the blood in that equation.
Where does pushing it, like you're talking about in this society or in this whole world, you know, everything's just kind of, if you do anything, there's no consequences, and it's like, you know, whatever his name is over there, you know, we ought to just go over there and kick his butt to China, you know.
Is that a new thing?
Yeah, there should be, it's like, but there's always vacillation, you know, about what do we do, you know, and it's almost like you have to take it all the way to seeing what you would do to whoever or whatever, what you really want to do.
Amen. Yeah. You've got to, first of all, you've got to do this incredibly dangerous thing, and that's to trust what your feelings are. You can't go into it with any idea or even the right words. Because if you go in, because each situation is brand new. It's got a new component. It's got new essences. It's, you know, and when you go into it, If the exchange doesn't take you down to the place of the blood, then you notice just the slightest break in fellowship costs a life.
Yeah.
I mean, all these ridiculous things cost a life. So, again, but that's why it's this thing I'm just overwhelmed with tonight for some reason is this: who determines the evaluation? I mean, each one of us want to determine the evaluation. That retains our right for godhood. We want to decide what will satisfy me if you're offended and what you will give if you're the offender. And so you walk in that your whole life. And most of the time, the world lets you do that because the world wants you to be the God. And then all of a sudden you're confronted with the law, and you say, oh my God, I haven't really forgiven anyone. Because I've always had the exchange, or even in my mind, or the talks with the people, based on something other than the value or the shekels of the sanctuary. The fruit of this is freedom. I hope you can sense it.
So if you do all kinds of things in your mind to keep from confronting the person and really taking it all the way out, and you say, well, they just had this little problem, and so that's why, you know.
Or if somebody offended you, then you've got to be able, you've got to go through the right, you know, in your own mind, what you demand for it. But it, and it becomes a, it keeps, like every time you go through that exchange, you cover over the pearl with more plastic until pretty soon you can't even see. You've forgotten what it looks like.
Good thing about when in that place and figuring out just who the priest is. I mean, we do. I mean, we have all that, like all these little priests in our head or in our background, and we're never brought to that point of Christ being the ultimate high priest and what, you know, he was both the priest and the offering. At the same time.
Yeah, but it has to have a component. It can't be just a philosophy.
No.
It has to be brought to a point where I was amazed today in hearing these people and talking. I was Don Day and is very active in a particular church. Alex Burton is, you know, curmudgeon. At best, he's agnostic. And you know, in all the talks that were going on while the commercials were playing and stuff, it was like Don Day, I mean, his sincerity was there, and but he had no idea what he's talking about. And Alex Burton just spent most of his time making fun of what he thought was really, you know, really down there, sincere religious stuff. And I'm sitting there just watching it. You know, it's just like, I mean, we think that we can name the name of Jesus, and because we're sincere, it's just that's what it means. I mean, that we're covered. But my God, to consider that my slightest break in fellowship, my slightest trespass, I, in order to be forgiven, have to go down to see the blood of Christ. Not just say that it was somehow covered. Do you understand? And how do you know? Well, you know if it, you know if it's, if it's, well, how can I say this? Eventually, you know, because you're that the blood has been seen, and the blood is atoning, and the blood has met all requirement when you're free. When you no longer, And there is something that if you've forgiven someone, you've forgotten. It's as though it never existed. Now, that's a biggie. You know, and then you come down to the idea of forgiving yourself and what exchange you use there. And that becomes...
I just have this analogy of an oyster. You know, it gets a little bit of sand. Well, the sand is the break in fellowship. And we take it and we cover it over with smooth stuff until it looks like a real nice thing, you know, and that's kind of what we offer is these pearls. But it should be dealt with when there's sand there. That's where things start. Or I know my tendency is to let them be smoothed over until they're not offensive. So that's where no real stuff takes place.
Well, let's, do you understand this? I mean, do you understand about what, I mean, I'm picking on Harry because he's on the left, but do you understand how many? Do you understand, can you see the army in there that you haven't forgiven? Do you see anyone that you haven't forgiven?
I do. It's like, not necessarily you, but like with Ollie, he either completely forgives somebody or completely hates their guts. You know? And it's like it's always dealt with, you know. It's either there's totally no fellowship or there's totally complete fellowship. And it's like that's such a picture of what this, you know, pushing it all the way to the blood or whatever you want to call it, seeing the blood, you know, you take that hatred all the way and you take the everything.
You've got to push it that far every time. I'm not sure I always do it, but...
Yeah, but you appear to a lot of times.
But everybody has to do that. It's the hugest risk of your life. If there's the slightest thing, if there's the slightest... I beg of you to consider this. I beg of each one of you to see that this difference, the tolerance is the enemy of life. That
anybody seen Joe Bob's
newsletter?
Got a story on Joe Bob's America. It's about Gunsmoke. The first 2 years.
Oh, yeah.
Did you read it?
Yeah.
The first 2 years, I have no recollection of ever having seen that show, because he describes Marshall Dillon that was, you know, a human being that would kill people that he knew, that he wasn't quite sure were bad guys, but he had every suspicion that they were, and he was afraid to let them get away. And, you know, it talks about the doc. They were human people. But he said after that second season, you know, the psychologist got a hold of the show or something, and then became this liberal, mealy-mouthed, nice guy, and then everything was fair and stuff. You know, his wrap-up essentially is something disappeared after that second season, and he said, I think it was life.
Steve has movie and TV deal.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good example. That's
a good example. I mean, he talked about Marshall Dillon that was human that would, you know, go after somebody because he was mad at them.
Well, again, the thing that's on me is it's like a blanket on me right now is this thing of the evaluation. That we each one of us have determined our own, made our own evaluation of the value of the offense or of the trespass, and have tried to pay that rather than paying what the real value was in the terms of the shekels of the sanctuary. And I sense in a lot of people, it's not black or white. You've become so used to gray that there is no my exhortation is take the risk of being, let it go all the way, let it go, so that there is either, as Judy said, either a total break in fellowship or total acceptance. There is never again tolerance.
Yeah, this is a whole new view of being nice, which we've talked about for years, and it started out just kind of being stupid, and then it was like, you know, but this is like you're covering up this trespass, and it's costing the blood of Christ.
Yeah.
Well,
you know, something like I know a lot of times, I mean, you know, many times in my life, looking back on it, I know that I've offended somebody else. And it's been for a reason and I'm sure it's happened the other way around too, but it's been for a reason that I think is completely absurd. It's like I can't understand why the other person is offended. I mean, it's just beyond me. I mean, why is he so upset about that? I mean, is he crazy? Is he weird? And I mean, it's something about this idea of the, you know, the shekels of the sanctuary makes even fellowship possible, because without that, I know that I would continue to either offend people or be offended, and because my currency is different than the other person's, there's no possibility of fellowship, or, you know,
Amen.
Seeing Wade go through, and it's like, you know, kind of reminded me, it's like, you know, Wade has
his own unique
currency.
I mean,
just a very, very different currency. And it's not that it's right or wrong. It's that it's wrong is what it is. But it's because
just
it's
like
not.
Everybody else.
But it isn't.
Yeah, I mean,
it isn't based on the shekels of the sanctuary.
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
Well, one of the you see it in here, and again, that's maybe one of the reasons Levites are around. But you see it here always between Harry and Barbara. It's a constant. And you try to repay each other in the wrong currency.
Well, between everybody, yeah. I mean, I felt it a lot with Harry.
Yeah.
I mean, Barbara too.
But it's got to go to the core. It's got to go down to where life is. And I hope that we're able to communicate this to the people, because in it is the freedom. In it is what everybody's hoping for. Are you okay, Pam?
I was writing.
The shekels of the sanctuary were always silver. And the valuation of the trespass was determined not by the one who was trespassed against or the trespassor. The value of the trespass was determined only by the priest, and the basis of his value was not either one of them's currency, but it was after the value of the shekels of the sanctuary, the silver of the sanctuary. The silver of the sanctuary ever and always meant only one thing, true redemption. Redemption ever and always meant only one thing, the blood of Christ. Therefore, if there is any trespass, any place where you feel wronged by another in any way, then the natural tendency of the human race is to try to have you, as the one who felt wronged, make a valuation of what the value of that trespass was. And then you would exact that value from the other party, from Larry or from me or from somebody. And then when they didn't think that the value of the trespass was the same as you thought, the only thing that could happen was an argument. Many arguments, incessant arguments, no peace, because there's demands, there's negotiations, there's so many negotiations here going on in your head that you don't even remember them all, trying to make the value of the trespass and the value of the offended party and the one offended meet. It can only be met on the basis of the value of the sanctuary determined by the priest. That has to be seen as the blood of Christ for the slightest trespass, down to the point of empathizing the blood, so that you can say in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. You can't forgive those who have trespassed against you if you are expecting the forgiveness based on your valuation of the offense. That's why most marriages in the universe break up. That's why most friendships break up, because there is a demand made based on an offense that isn't met by the other party, and therefore there's a break. The only way it can happen is based on the evaluation by the priest after the shekels of the sanctuary, so that you can see the blood.
Well, it's like if Harry did something to me and offended me, and I thought to completely forgive Harry, he would have to at least be civil to me for a week or something, you know, at least do something or other. And he's thinking, well, if I just sit down and rationally explain it to John, you know, what exactly happened, that should be the thing that brings us back together. And really the only thing, it's only until both of us see the blood of Christ. If I see it in the sense that the blood of Christ has covered everything, I can't demand anything of anybody. If you see it as the blood of Christ has you know, not what anything that you think ought to happen, it would be just seeing that you're covered. Then both of us are able to come to fellowship because we're both tied to this one thing.
But it can't be because you should think that.
Yeah.
It's you got the.
Which is what happens in Babylon. In Babylon, there's never it's never seen as redemption, it's always seen as tolerance. Because you think you should see it. You understand?
I have a question. I mean, these are all, I mean, like that example, it's an objective example. But then you have like David, when he sinned against, what was his name, Uriah, or and he said, against thee and thee alone have I sinned, O Lord. Now that, I mean, you know, certainly that wouldn't wash around here. I mean, because it's not objective. I mean, it doesn't have.
It's not testable.
It's not testable. Now, but in him it was perfected. It was, you know, it was complete.
But it was tested.
David saw it.
Yeah, but it also cost him the life of his firstborn.
Yeah, and Uriah was dead.
He was dead. There wasn't anything he could do
about it. But it cost him the life of the child. So the type was complete because it cost the life of the firstborn, the slightest, whether the trespass was great or small. But if it's not seen, you know, that's why, again, that's why God demands that everything is tested, so that, because he sees no difference between a trespass against your neighbor or a trespass against God himself. So that if you the your lifestyle has to be such that it forces you in a position where you can't act like you're forgiven or you've forgiven someone. It forces you into a position where you must daily confront the one that you say that you have forgiven or the one who you think should forgive you. In other words, that's the only way that we die daily. Otherwise, we gain life daily by our isolation.
It kind of, you know, I'm not sure, but extend it out one bit farther. You have this situation, like, say, John, Harry, me and you. If the priest said, you know, settles it and demands, you know, repayment based on the shekels of the sanctuary, can one without the other be?
Well, the only thing that can happen is that.
I don't even know how to ask that question.
Well, I know what you mean.
Somebody sees the cross and the other person doesn't.
Then the one that doesn't see the cross is gone.
Well, that sounds rather shallow in this kind of, you know, analogy of forgiveness, and it doesn't make a loop. It doesn't make a complete circle somehow that, you know, you can get yours and the other person's left up to his forgiveness, and it doesn't make a complete circle here.
Well, again, you have what we do, the way in which we can see it is we have to look at what happened in the law. We look at the law to see what these intimate details are. What happened is, if the shekels of the sanctuary, if that determination was made and the one party refused to pay it, then there was no forgiveness. The trespass couldn't be forgiven unless both parties entered into the transaction after that agreement. And both of them had to see that it cost a life, the life of the ram. Both of them had to see the life was only the type, because it was determined, the valuation of it was determined after the value of the shekels of the sanctuary. If the priest made the determination and one of them refused, the fact that the priest made the determination covered the one. If the other one didn't see it, the other one has no more responsibility in it.
Okay.
That's the way it worked. Now, how does that work here? How does that work worked out in us? Well, there's a whole lot of people in me that haven't forgiven me or that have something against me. They're no longer here. Now, does that mean that in order for the loop to be complete, I should leave with them?
Only in our case.
Maybe. But what it means is if you look at the scriptures, it means almost disciplehood. It doesn't matter whether I was right or wrong, but in the transaction, there was a forgiveness based on the seeing of the blood of Christ. It was something that was gone. It became so violent to the kingdom that some transaction had to take place. There had to be some butting of heads. There had to be something take place in which there was either, as Judy said, there was either total acceptance or total anathema. There was never a moment when, tolerance was accepted. Now that's a hard demand, but as I search the scriptures, that's all I see. The opportunity is there for all to accept grace at every moment. But if they refuse to accept grace by holding on to their againstness, then there is no hope. And the priest, or whoever that person is always going to be the one that offends most. Go to Matthew 11. Matthew 11, verse 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. I mean, that is always the case.
Until the Son of Man is revealed.
Do what?
Until the Son of Man, or until Christ is revealed.
In each transaction, not in a theoretical basis. If there is something in the life experience by which the blood of Christ isn't sufficient to be seen, not as a theory, but as a practical thing which causes the peace of the heart to be flooded, then it is as if it were never existed. There has to be ever and always not a theoretical transaction of the blood of Christ, but a practical transaction in each of the possible transactions that you exist in. And anything less than that blood can never be fellowship or friendship or tolerance based on anything less than that. Otherwise, you are literally walking on the blood of Christ. You have elevated yourself above the blood in some weird way.
Taking it by force is each party staying in there through the battle till Christ is seen.
Amen.
That is the suffering,
the same
of the blood.
As suffering in the blood. It's the same kind of a verse.
And
resisting.
When Peter was asking Jesus, how often should I forgive my brother and all that? Right before that, I just saw this recently. Mind-blowing. Jesus says, if your brother offend thee, rebuke him. And if you turn again, forgive him. It's like, the religious, mind always hears that, here's the forgiveness without the, if your brother offend thee, rebuke him part of it. But if you don't do that, then you're trespassing because you're not delivering to your brother.
You've committed the trespass that John has talked about.
Where is that?
I was just looking for it.
You have found that which was lost and lieth concerning it.
Yeah. So to tolerate.
To throw forgiveness around as if it were easy is an abomination. First of all, it never works if you endure. It always is revealed. The shallowness of that act is always revealed in body. I mean, sometimes it takes longer because of a particular personality types, but it's always revealed. That's why only he that endures till the end shall be saved.
It's Luke 17:3.
It's like, yeah. This is a time again every year when you make these as a tithes or first fruit offerings to reevaluate, you know, what you should give them.
Amen. And every day, I mean, as you know, whenever that, when we go through that, is there someone that you haven't forgiven? This year, it'll take on a new meaning. Is there, you know, again, see the thing of, in, see it not in your religious world, see it in your day-to-day activity, see it in the crosswords or the weird feelings that you might have against your wife or your brother or whoever. But see the transaction that it's only, fellowship can only be brought into place. Do you understand that there's so many of these that we have tolerated that we don't even know who we are?
Yeah.
I mean, to get down to where life is takes violence. It's not something that we can throw around like candy. But the biggest one you have to forgive is yourself. Otherwise, none of this can have any merit. And you don't have the capacity to forgive yourself without a brother there with you. It's impossible to forgive yourself in your isolation. Because you will, by definition, make the wrong value evaluation. And it's only after you have become a priest and who are taken out from among men that you then can determine the valuation. You can see through each one's attempt to establish their own value of the offense or the trespass. That's all that counseling is about. I mean, that's why it's the you know.
Yeah, that's why counseling, if you just go to the therapist, they're trying to get
the compromise. The they're trying to compromise and a value. That's what the...
And so that there be peace.
Amen. And there can't be any compromise on the value. But that's why, you know, I mean, the you must push it to the point of cutting the baby in half. There is never a place where you can be satisfied with your own estimation of...
Without preaching, we would know it. Without preaching, you wouldn't, I mean, that's really the value of it, because you wouldn't know.
Your mind would always place another value. Well, that's the takeaway tonight. That's the main thing I wanted us to get into tonight about the trespass offering is, who determines the value? What is the value? What does that mean in the real place that you live? What does it mean in the arguments between Darlene and her beloved? I mean, you've got to see it, or you're going to argue the rest of your life.
You asked me earlier if I saw the army in there, and I said no. I don't see the army in terms of do I see the faces in the army, but I know there's an army.
Yeah, because again, it creates when you apprehend what we've talked about tonight, you can never again be a victim. And when you apprehend what's talked about tonight, you'll never again fear me. You fear me because you think that I know you're faking. And if you knew If let every man be fully persuaded in himself, then how shall he have rejoicing in himself, in his own mind? Then
I
shall he have.
I was faking it.
Yeah.
What the hell would I be worried?
If you did right, that's why. No, that's why. I mean, why religion has to have converts to justify its ridiculousness. True faith doesn't need a convert. Convert will come automatically. But if they have to justify their stuff by converts, then something's wrong with their system. But please, this is really important, and it can offer you freedom. Yeah. That and it's tested in the people you spend most of the time with. That's where the reality of it is. And Pam and Larry and John and Josanna and Gary and Judy and Doug and Brian.
Well, there's some days I spend more time with you than anybody else.
Oh, yeah, in your mind.
I spend more time with Beth than I do with you.
Everybody, can we at least take home some of this?
Yeah.
Okay, leave your things here. Give them to Mr. Harry. Well, if you want one to take home, take it. We get a copy, but I don't want to, every time we study this.
It just hit me in between the eyes that about 99.9% of the offenses that I feel are against me are because nobody else or almost nobody else deals in the same currency I deal with.
Right.
So they're offending me in things that mean nothing to them.
And that's why.
But it's huge to me.
Yeah, but that's why people. That's why most people that go to the same church, What they do is they traffic in the same currency.
Yeah, they seek out the same type of people.
And so that's why we're here. We are. I mean, there's total weirdness and total from all. There's almost no possibility of trafficking in the same currency.
Gosh, thanks, Jimmy. That's the clearest I've heard it all night. Well,
most days, I'm blessing upon here. I'm pissed off by 8:30 in the morning at 5 different people, and they have no idea why.
Well, you were a joy this morning at the.
I was faking. I was mad because I had to get up. I was mad because I couldn't have a cigarette.
Well, I'm also kidding.
Too noisy in the restaurant.
He's kidding that you were a joy.
He was kidding. He was faking. Sorry.
Okay.
You didn't seem like you were a joy to me.
I wasn't.
Oh, no.
You weren't deceived, were you, Doug?
No, I had discernment.
I had a hangover.
All that discernment is seeing through the cross everything. Seeing everything through the cross.
What was discernment? You missed it.
Being in the room with something sick.
I must know.
Let me write that one down.